am so excited to be here. And so, so grateful to be a member of this sacred spiritual community. Some of you may already know this story. Others may have read about it in the Daily Word. If that applies to you, I pray that you enjoy it again. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, copies of the Daily Word are available in the bookstore today. In July of 2008, I was a newlywed, a new homeowner, planning to build my first family with my first true love. On July 31st, Rich and I went to a Yankees baseball game. The Yankees were playing the Los Angeles Angels. We were on a newlywed high, and nothing could dampen the joy we felt as we huddled together in the stands, planning for our nursery and our new home, and reviewing a to-do list for our dog Moses, who used to sneak in here on Sundays with me at Symphony Space. Don't tell anyone. He enjoyed the services, particularly loved the music. At 30 years old, I was already a VP at a top New York City PR firm, and I was excited about taking a trip the very next day. What a summer this would be. Rich was an aspiring singer-songwriter and gently sang one of his new melodies in my ear during the game. It was truly a night to remember. Or so I imagine. I have no real memories of that evening or many of the days and nights that came before and after it. I'm told that Rich and I were at that game and the Yankees lost to the Angels. That night, as we were heading home, an 18-wheeler on the other side of the median jackknifed over a concrete wall and crashed into us. 6 weeks later, after what I refer to as my six-week beauty nap, I awoke at Westchester Medical Center and learned that my husband was killed in the crash. Our one-year wedding anniversary passed while I was in the coma. I was found to be a Glasgow coma scale of 3. On the Doctor Radio show earlier this year, Dr. Flanagan explained that the Glasgow coma scale ranges from 3 to 15. I was scored least likely to survive. When Mom arrived to Westchester Medical, the doctors told her not to expect me to ever walk or talk again. Who knew 6 years later I'd be speaking here at Unity of New York. Thank you. Thank you. I considered the day of the car crash as my re-birthday. In July 2008, Angela 1 died, and Angela 2 was born. These two are very different people. Angela One was a multitasking vice president of a team of PR professionals. She was known as the Queen of Karaoke. It was a bonding strategy with clients, very effective. She was bringing home the bacon and frying it up in a pan. Love me some bacon. Angela Two finds multitasking difficult. She sleeps more and sometimes gets lost on the subway. But she's a rock star and still loves bacon. By acknowledging these two selves, it allows me to stop trying to return to the shoes of Angela One and allows me to wholly love and inhabit Angela Two. I know everyone in this room has faced a significant challenge somewhere along the way in life, whether job loss, a breakup, a divorce, financial troubles, health challenges, or simply surviving in New York City. Take a moment to think what this experience was for you. Breathe. I'd now like to invite you to reconsider this date of a pivotal turning point in your life as your rebirthday. After all, it's an important part of who you are today. A number of the new faces here this morning are members of what I refer to as my recovery team, the long line of angels, many of whom were strangers, that came together to help rebuild my life. This includes paramedics, doctors, therapists, attorneys, widows and widowers, fellow widows and widowers, members of the Brain Injury Association of New York State, of which I'm now the proudly new elected New York City chairperson, and members of my beloved brain-injured family. Many more who have touched my life merely by being in it. One person who could not be here today is author Bill Ramsey from North Carolina. He earlier released this year a book titled Me Now, Who Next, which is the story of my recovery from his point of view. With challenges comes change, and change isn't necessarily easy. When I attended a service at Unity Village Chapel, at Unity Village, outside of Kansas City, Reverend Aaron McCabe demonstrated an exercise that demonstrated how uncomfortable change can be. Let's try it now. I invite you to find a seat in a section you've never sat in before, next to someone you've never met before. This includes you, Sassy. Can we have the house lights up, please? And for those of you who are upstairs who like the dark, do the best that you can. Ready, set, go. Proud of you. Ever since I did that exercise at Unity Village, I wanted to do it here. We have our seat savers. Now we're mixed up. Now we're shuffled. Just how we should be. I'm sure you met someone really interesting, and you may have been sharing symphony space every Sunday for years, and now you've met each other. Now you might have brunch. You might have made a new friend. One of the gifts from this car crash is the time it's given me to be more involved here at my spiritual home, Unity of New York. Because the doctors declared me disabled and unable to work, my job has been healing, which is exactly what I've gotten from here. Through classes, Sunday services, workshops, and retreats with many of you, I've strengthened my spiritual muscles. One of my favorite courses is the 4T's Prosperity class. I see many of my former 4T's prayer group members here now. Hey. Hey, girl. The last 4T's goal I set was, I am an effective advocate for those affected by brain injury. I am proud to say that I'm serving this community now. As we say in Unity, this stuff works. Probably the most powerful and important spiritual muscle I've developed is my prayer practice. I still receive outpatient therapy at NYU Langone, and of all the therapies I've completed, my prayer practice is probably the most important part of my healing. I have a prayer partner, and we pray 5 days a week. Some of you may know him. His name is Britt Hall. Britt, thank you for helping me manifest this opportunity and develop this talk. I love you like the brother I've never had. Thank you. Our prayer partnership is very sacred. Our prayer partnership had been under the radar for a number of years, but we recently came out of the prayer closet with this month's issue of Daily Word when the editor asked us to write the feature articles. Mine is titled, prayer saved my life, which it truly has done. Before I close, I'd like to share an excerpt from the book I was asked to write, or the chapter in the book I was asked to write, Me Now, Who Next? There is a hardworking guardian angel who makes this journey bearable, and there isn't a day that goes by that I haven't felt rich at my side, including right now. Sometimes his presence is made obvious through songs that happen to play around me, like the time his favorite Delamitri song came on while I was strapped into a treadmill at physical therapy. I later discovered the obscure song, Tell Her, on my laptop under music Rich uploaded onto my computer. There's occasionally a subtle sensation I know I'm not alone in a room when standing there by myself. When someone loses a person they love, that loss is clear, and there is something tangible to grieve. In many ways, it's easier to grieve a death than it is to lose a part of yourself. The reality is I've lost more than a young husband, a career, and a lifestyle. I'd venture to guess that this loss of self is the most upsetting loss for most brain injury survivors. We're all trying to figure out how to live as a different person. How do we accept our new selves and gain the acceptance from others as this new self? We've lost so much of who we were and are approaching our lives as if on training wheels. And yet, those losses do not have to mean the end of the world. I quickly broke the habit of referring to myself in the past tense, or the old me, because I didn't like how it sounded or felt. Returning to the old me would be taking steps backwards anyway. So I began focusing on the new me. I've wondered why my recovery is going so well, and I thought maybe it's the type or location of my brain injury. But my former occupational therapist told me that my injuries are significant and not localized. The real payoff is coming because I do what I'm told. Sure, there are days when I have to force myself to exercise, when I'd rather take a nap. But there's an internal flame or a guardian angel who gives me reason to work. The benefits are becoming obvious, and the daily improvements are very fulfilling. I want you to experience this recovery too. It's within every survivor's reach. I'd like to add, it's within the reach of all of you. Every survivor has a story of horrific tragedy. Rather than dwelling on the how we got our brain injuries and what we can no longer do as a result, consider what gifts this injury has given you. What can you do now that you could not have done before the accident? For example, these days I cannot multitask. Before, I always had 2, 3, or 10 things on my plate. Now, when you're talking to me, you get my full and undivided attention. To my benefit and that of those around me, my new ability to provide my undivided attention is a gift. To anyone who's ever survived great challenge, I urge you to take time to thank those who helped you. As I've already shared, I refer to these doctors, nurses, paramedics, therapists, psychologists, support groups, family and friends as my recovery team. I make a point of telling them how valuable their contribution is. Thank you to those of you who are here today. You're all mixed up, but I feel you here. This is especially true of your professional medical therapy team. The nurse on life flight, Jenna Canavan, told me, thank you so much. It's miracles like you that make our job worth every moment. To all those who have touched my life, physically, emotionally, and those I've never met but who held me in prayer, I thank you from a place deeper than my heart. The time, talent, and money you invested to save and restore my life were not wasted. I refuse to believe that this was an accident. God is not cruel. God has a bigger plan, and I anticipate what the adventure that lies ahead. I believe in the power of affirmations. Many of you might not venture a guess at the outcome of my story. At the risk of spoiling the surprise, let me tell you the end. I have very clear affirmations of the direction of my life. Number one, I will become an effective advocate for brain injury survivors and their families. That's already happening. Number two, I will sing again. And number three, I will find the second love of my life. Thank you. Thank you. I'm 6 years post-injury, and I still see signs of improvement. No matter what tremendous challenge you've experienced or may be going through right now, remember that each day is not only sacred, it's brand new. So happy rebirthday to you. God bless you.
My last song, if this is my final day, if tomorrow I'll be gone, what do I have to say? If this is my last song, if it's my time to go, when my body's moved on, what will I have to show? No, not fortune or fame, they scatter to the wind. The things that make a name just don't matter in the end. But is the world a little more peaceful? Oceans and skies a little more blue? Is humankind a little bit wiser about the good that we can do? Does the sun shine a little brighter where before there was only rain? If so, that I'm glad I came. If these are my last words for all of the earth to hear, if all that I have ever been is about to disappear, if these are my last words, there's nothing more I need to say. I have only tried to serve. It's never been about talking anyway. So much hurt there is to heal. It's hard to understand. All I can hope to feel is that I am doing what I can. But is the world a little more peaceful? Oceans and skies a little more blue? Is humankind a little bit wiser about the good that we can do? Does the sun shine just a little brighter where before there was only rain? If so, then I'm glad I came. Have I given hope to the hopeless? Has a hungry soul been fed? as a child stood a little bit taller because of something that I said. Have I left just a little kindness? Have I eased a little pain? If so, then I'm glad I came. For that, I'm so glad I came. If this is my last song, what do I leave behind? What do I pass on? If I am out of time. Allow yourself to be fully, fully, fully present in this moment. Remembering that you are so blessed. You are so blessed for all that God is. For all we are, for all I am, beginning with all I have. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful for all that I have. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful, I am so blessed for all that I am. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful for all that I am. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful, I am so blessed for all that God is. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful for all that God is. I am so blessed, I am so blessed, I am so grateful. As I declare my rebirth day, knowing in truth, in every new moment, I'm born again. In every brand new moment of my life that is pregnant with possibility. No matter what challenge I may be facing, or what challenge I've ever faced before, I made it through. In spite of it all, I am so blessed. And with each passing breath, allow yourself to sink deeper into the truth that you are divine, that you are a sacred being of love, of light, as a child of God. This is your divine inheritance. I am so blessed. Feel the divine in this moment. Just feel that subtle presence, that electricity, that light deep within you that's always there, always present. And our busy lives, all we need to do is pause for just a moment and know that God is present and know that all is well. And as you acknowledge the presence, you call forth the guidance. You call forth whatever you could need, because in truth, you have all you need in this moment. And in this moment, and in this moment, and in this truth, say yes. Say yes to this truth. And if yes is difficult, just be willing to say yes. To know that you are the divine expressing as you. Right here. Right now. And in the silence, just allow this truth to be. In the silence, be still and know this truth. Have I given hope to the hopeless? Has a hungry soul been fed? Has a child stood a little bit taller because of something that I said? Have I left a little kindness? Have I eased a little pain? If so, then I'm glad I came. for that. I'm so glad I came. And so it is.